The boy Jobab was 9, the year the building of the tower began. He was a strong little fellow, the kind of boy who liked to fish in the river near his home in the new city of Babylon, and climb the fig trees and find secret hiding places in the wild growth outside the walls of the city. But especially Jobab liked to visit one of his special friends and relatives, an old man half covered by his own white beard, the gentle old soul called Noah. They had been friends for all of Jobab's life, and a small part of Noah's, for Noah was now 949 years old. So much had happened since the flood. 350 years had come and gone, and now instead of one small family of 8 people, there were thousands of families, and hundreds of thousands of people, all descended from Noah and his 3 sons. Each day of those 350 years had brought changes. Starting fresh in the new world, people had time and energy for new things, new skills, and new inventions. The men had made tools for their farming, and weapons for battle, flutes and harps for music. They had learned to carve little statues. They had invented writing, putting down tales of their own greatness on tablets of clay and the scrolled skins of sheep. They had even invented games, like the wonderful new pastime of checkers. And the women had discovered how to make candies and sweet cakes. "Oh, these are exciting times we live in," Jobab would say, hugging his knee with delight. The night Jobab came with the news, Noah sat alone by his front door. Noah, listen. A great thing is about to happen. People are going to build a tower as high as the sky, the biggest building in the whole world, and I'm going to help." Noah blinked. "Why are they going to do this?" "To show everyone how great they are. I'll tell you more later. I must run home now. Tomorrow we start building." And Jobab darted down the street into the dusk. Noah got slowly to his feet. Carefully carrying the weight of his years, he walked into the heart of the city. "Men of Babylon," he called, "what foolishness is this to build a tower to the sky?" The men gathered around Noah, astonished to see him in this part of town. "Why, we're building a tower to show how great men are, Noah. Building a tower that is bigger than anything ever built, much larger than your ark." "Yes, so tall that if a flood came, we'd be safe at the top," laughed one. "A tower to reach heaven itself so the gods can come down here and we can walk up there." "The gods," cried Noah, "but there is but one god." "Oh, nonsense, we have many gods, big ones, little ones, even fat ones and skinny ones. A god for our farms, a god for money, a god for love. We made them ourselves, old man, and they're better than your god, whom no one has ever even seen." "But I have heard his voice," said Noah, "and I have seen his anger loose upon the wicked earth. And I tell you that you are tempting his anger with your evil ways. Build this tower and you shall see." Their laughter echoed in his ears as Noah trudged slowly home, half blind with tears. At length he sank again to his cushion by his own doorway, head in his hands. "O Lord, must men forever harden their hearts and turn from you? Will they never learn the simple, beautiful truth that if they love you and serve you, they will know happiness?" 2 days later, Noah died. And the building of the tower went on. Jobab and the other boys of Babylon had their part in the work, carrying tools, bringing water for the men to drink. Jobab began by helping his father and the other men dig the foundation. When he was 12, he was helping to carry bricks to the builders. When he was 15, he was high in the air, laying bricks himself. Year after year, the tower grew taller, and so did men's pride and their wickedness. Jobab grew to be a man and married and had his own sons, and still the tower was not finished. He worked each day at the dizzy height on the tower walls, and sometimes at night, when moonlight cast strange shadows on the tower, Jobab would remember Noah, and he would wonder if God's anger were truly going to fall. Well, one blistering hot afternoon, the answer came. Men clustered over the tower like dusty ants, sweating and cursing as they worked. An overseer shouted an order to 2 workmen to turn over a slab of stone. They stared at him blankly. They didn't move. Again he yelled his command. One workman shivered and shook his head. The other opened his mouth and seemed to ask a question, but now the overseer stared in silence. They could not understand each other. Always and always from the beginning, from the days of Adam and Eve, all the men had spoken the same language. There was only one language, for all men were part of the same huge family. Noah was the great-great-grandfather of them all. But God, watching his children, had seen wickedness spread from one to another like a disease. He had seen that men together had come to think of themselves as so strong and so wise and so powerful that they had no need for a God. And God leaned down from heaven and confounded their tongues. He gave them different languages so they could not understand each other's speech. All over the tower, men fell into confusion. On the scaffolding, on the ramps, on the walls and the crossbeams, men gabbled in panic, each in a new tongue. Within 5 minutes, the tower was a whirlwind of voices, panic-stricken, helpless to go on. Jobab himself grew pale with terror. A moment ago, he had been talking with his best friend as together they laid bricks in careful patterns. They had been planning a picnic for their families. In mid-sentence, their words changed. They talked and neither one understood. "I've gone mad," Jobab thought. Then, as he heard the voices shrilling around him, he remembered the sad old voice of Noah, warning that God would punish men. "Father!" Jobab's two sons ran toward him, calling. "Oh, my sons, at least we can understand each other. At least each family remains together. And many families with the same language can become a nation, and we will not be altogether separate." Jobab held his sons close in the babble of fearful men. "Never again will things be the same," he said. And he did not know whether to be glad or sad. Well, there was nothing to do but climb down and forget the building of the tower. Nothing to do but seek out those to whom God had given the same tongue and with them make a home somewhere apart on the earth. And that day the nations were born, each with its own language, each journeying to a different part of the world, to Africa, to Europe, to Asia. And from that day to this, men would find it hard to understand each other and to trust and to like those whose tongue was different. Jobab stood with his own sons staring at the jagged walls of the unfinished tower. "The Tower of Babel," he said. And in the sunset, he put his hands on his sons' heads and said, "Babel." Babel. The word means confusion. And that is the punishment that comes to men who are too proud to love God. And Jobab told his sons about Noah, who was his friend and his ancestor and theirs, and about the flood and about Adam and Eve, the same true stories we tell today. The first star shone over the bleak, meaningless bricks of the Tower of Babel as Jobab and his sons went home that night. And all over the world was a strangeness and a sadness. And the night winds carried the echoes of 100 different tongues.